Hey, everybody. Welcome to Season 3 of Fearless Women Podcast. Thanks for joining us weekly as we bring you inspiring true stories from around the world. I'm Janice McDonald, your host and global champion for women. For more great stories, pick up a copy of my beautiful best-selling book, Fearless, Girls with Dreams, Women with Vision. It's available everywhere. A big shout out to our listeners from all around the globe, including USA, UK, Australia, France, hello, and so many more countries. Love, love, love having you join us. I'm thinking about you and I hope you're doing all right out there. Difficult conversations, encountering the media, making effective presentations, and leadership in crisis. My next guest is an expert in all of these, and she's going to share insights from her very impressive career and offer some practical tips on putting your best foot forward. I'm very excited to welcome Laura Peck from Transform Leaders. She started her career in Canada working as a political assistant on Parliament Hill, as a broadcaster for TV and radio with CBC. She's very well known as a leader who trains and coaches CEOs, deputy ministers, ministers, and C-suite executives in the public, private, and nonprofit sectors. And she's been doing so for over 30 years. Welcome to the show, Laura Peck.
Oh, it's just a big thrill to be here, Janice, to see somebody. It's always good.
All right. Well, let's jump right in. You're a fellow at Carleton University's Riddell Master's Program in Political Management, where you lecture on strategic communications, political management, and the media. The pandemic has given us a live case study, and I know you are certified and all trained up in the case study method from Harvard. But as we think about this live case study in effective and really not so effective strategic communications, hey, Laura, give us your thoughts on all of that.
Yeah, the big pivot happened, that's for sure, in this pandemic, because very early on, we had to teach another course at Cape Breton University in strategic communication. And we were really in the wilds, shall we say, because teaching a big class online was very challenging in the early days of pandemic. No technical help or whatever, as well as all of the case studies that we teach, we actually did them. It was through our lived experience. And so when we are taking students or adults through a case study, it's something that we actually did. And so we know the outcome and we know where they all are now. And so it's just a whole other different experience, though, because we're only seeing students or people that we're coaching in little boxes. And so the whole notion of in-person training and teaching after 30 years of having done it that way was no longer. It is all through this like we're doing it right now, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Well, so if we think you've talked about doing this for over 30 years, you started your career, as we mentioned, as a political assistant on Parliament Hill in Canada. You've worn many different hats, trainer, coach, lecturer, commentator, and so much more. Let's talk about the big theme of reinvention and saying yes to new opportunities, because talking to people right now, a lot of people, as they come out of the pandemic, are saying, I'm ready to make some changes in my life, maybe go in a different direction. And you've had such a fascinating career. So tell us more.
Yeah, well, the one good thing about the pandemic is that I'm a lifelong learner. So I've been able to not just teach courses online, but I've taken a lot of courses online also. Now, there's no question the in-person experience is wonderful. And having that experience, I've done executive programs at Harvard, like I know you have. You meet a lot of people. The network is great. But then I did online courses with them also. So I've kept upgrading my skills, shall we say. And so strategic communications can be applied to business, entrepreneurs, And is essentially you're training people to go into the world. So I think if anything, the pandemic has taught us that we'll have to go forward with a hybrid frame of mind, meaning, you know, we now know that you might go back to an office situation, but there will be a lot of people who will be taking your same course training and they will be remote. And so you've got to be prepared to do both, as a matter of fact.
And for you, you've just recently said yes to a new opportunity. You're going to be teaching out in Cape Breton. You know, how do you make the decisions around saying yes to new opportunities? How do you evaluate them? You know, what are some kind of practical things to keep in mind as people consider making some changes in their own life or grabbing hold of new opportunities that are presented to them?
Yeah, I'm from there. And so it was so meaningful to me when I did the in-person teaching. It's my home. It meant a lot to me. And so, of course, it was very disappointing then to have to do it all online. However, it taught me a tremendous amount because the students are all over the world. So some of them could be in Japan or Ghana or China, and they're in a different time frame. And so early on in the pandemic, we were dealing with people who are isolated, who felt a lot of mental illness, anxiety, depression, things like that. So we felt it was even more important to lift up their day. And because of the time change, we were describing to them a case, which we had actually done, but you have to take into consideration there's different cultural acceptances. Diversity is a wonderful thing, but if it's 2 o'clock in the morning for somebody, as well as there's a diversity of culture and age and all that kind of thing, you got to take a lot of things into consideration. But the good news is that it was well received, highly evaluated, and we will do that again, along with all of our other consulting work. And that has been, what an incredible ride that has been also in the pandemic, because there were a lot of new clients that came on board, and some of them are in, you know, artificial intelligence, or they're doing clinical trials for COVID. And so there's all kinds of science and hurry up and get that drug or vaccine on market too. So we're helping those people with communication. So essentially they're all experts. They know way more about the science than we do. But what I'm doing is helping them express the message on the science and make it understandable to people.
So one of the important things that you shared is the value and importance of lifelong learning. And I think it is exciting, as you referenced, the new opportunities that have come out of the pandemic in terms of access to a wider variety of programs, and that people from all over can, you know, decide, hey, I want to take Laura's course. And there you are. Well, you weren't physically in Cape Breton, but you know that. So that's, to me, really exciting when we think about some of the gifts of it and being able to say yes to new opportunities. So Beyonce, she once said, and I know you love her, I'm not one to gamble, but there is one thing I'll always bet on, and it's myself. Now, I love this statement. I fully agree with it. You've trained so many leaders. You were talking about even new leaders in different spheres that you're working with. Authentic leadership, you know, it's very buzzy, but frankly, it is so important. Tell us more about, you know, encouraging people to bet on themselves and to be themselves and to bring their full selves to work.
Yeah, it is true that the strongest leaders are people that have been willing to do whatever it takes to make the next thing and the next thing happen. And sometimes they are willing to do the small things. They are willing to, it could be something small like get their own coffee or whatever, but they're also good at motivating others, delegating out things. They really do have this sort of inner thing that tells them that they can bet on themselves, that no matter what, they're able to go on to the next thing. even if their creative idea is not accepted at that exact moment, they know that maybe somebody else has got a better one. So they have this sort of ability to roll with the times or whatever. And I think it's a good idea also to be able to be entrepreneurial, whether you're in politics or business or whatever. Self-reliance is pretty important. And, you know, figuring it out, how to do the next thing and the next thing, and also asking for help when you need that also.
Yeah, so important to recognize that you can't do it all. And great leaders know that. They surround themselves with smart people.
Interesting, Janice, that an organization like Export Development Corporation, I started training them years and years ago. And what I noticed is that some of their people were, there was a time when the equipment was heavier and things like that. Those same people would help us, you know, we're all roadies at one point, especially if you travel a lot for business, you know, not only do you have to do the business, but those same people would help us with equipment and things like that. They had a willingness to do whatever. And I remember one vice president there, she had to take a leave of absence because she had a child that needed a lot of help. So, of course, that teaches you also that sometimes people are making a situation, their family situation, work for them also. So she had all the skills, all the competence. And it was because of the family reason that she wasn't able to go on a little further. And then there was another woman who, she was so darn good, she got a job at the World Bank. And so, you know, you can see there's a microcosm sometimes of leadership capabilities in one room. And then what I do like about longevity in a business is you can look back and say, where are they now? What are they doing now? What did they do with those skills? Did they use them? Well, each one used them in their own way. But what I'm saying is that they had a willingness to rely on themselves and to do the best that they could with what they had and go on to do the next thing and the next thing.
So if you had one tip, and I know you have many that go along with training for effective presentations, but what's your advice for ambitious leaders who really want to make an impact and be more effective with their presentations? What would you say? Nail this and the rest will follow, if it's that easy.
Listen actively. Listen to what the audience is interested in. And sometimes it could be, you know, somebody who's putting the whole thing together. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Practice, practice, practice. Be willing to, you know, if your technology fails, the show must go on. You still have to be the one to make it happen. And trust me, I've made every mistake. I've had everything happen to me that could possibly happen. But, you know, I still had to go on and you know, sometimes with no tools whatsoever, and make that presentation work, or for that particular room full of executives or whatever, it had to go on to the next thing. You know, I have worked all over the world. I've worked in countries that culturally were in a different place, but I love all that diversity. And the other thing, you almost have to be like a helicopter that goes in and you're overlooking the whole situation and you're taking in that work environment. Or now you have to look up every single thing. Like after I finish speaking with you later this afternoon, I'm going to train an executive who's going into a whole new world. Well, we have to use tools that will tell us about the people that he's going to be interacting with. They're all in different countries too. So it is that ability to do your own research, prepare, get ready, and, you know, wishing, hoping, and praying helps a lot also.
So you're featured as one of the amazing fearless women in my beautiful best-selling book, Fearless, Girls with Dreams, Women with Vision. Take us back to your younger self. We know you were living in Cape Breton. What were you into? Probably horses, but just tell us some more.
For sure. I was a different girl because I had my earliest memories were I wanted to have a career. My whole life, I wanted to have a career. And that was a little bit different than some of the other people. However, even if somebody tried to, you know, take me down a peg or something like that, I just had this inner thing. I'm a third generation career woman also. My mother, her mother, that helped me a lot. But that's not the only answer. You have to sort of have it on the inside, but also, you know, I'm willing to be accepting of other people, role modeling. I sought out mentors at the time, and I have done mentoring myself. So my inner child told me there was a big world out there, and the kind of career that I've had is, I sort of thought all of my education, training, my lifelong learning, it all goes back to that 10, 11 year old young girl who that's what I wanted to do. And even when I have my worst days, my worst cold or whatever, if I get into my process, that really helps. I have a process I go through almost every day.
And tell us just more. What is that? What do you do?
Oh, I'm an early morning riser. As soon as I get up and have a cup of coffee, I return emails right away. And if I don't return an email, it's because I authentically didn't see it, or, you know, things get lost. So I go to social media also. I still get home delivery of newspapers because there's always that funny article that'll show up in the middle of a newspaper. And I'm totally in favor of, I still like some paper. And I look at all of the social media channels. And so I'm on top of the next thing and the next thing. Whatever is happening in news stories, I'm already engaged reading it, whatever. I'm also now, I used to do these full day seminars in which, you know, I would do all this research and read all these files. What's happened in the pandemic now is that people prefer on Zoom or on Teams, you know, a 2 hour, maybe even an hour of training. So it's not the same as observing the body language and all that. Now you've got to be, you know, you got to have your office ready. You have to have your stuff all charged up, ready to go. I go through my day. You know, I do like coffee. I do some form of exercise every single day, whether it's walking my dog or there's a guy that offers exercise on Facebook, Movement Union. And so I try to do some form of exercise with him. I find walking in nature also really lifts my spirits. You know, some days you just, oh my goodness, you just get overwhelmed with all of this being at home. I'm naturally a gregarious, outgoing person, but we all had to quickly adapt to doing everything in our homes. And at a point in my life where I thought I was being freed up to do more work and travel and adventure, that all stopped. And so now, you know, it's just interacting with people on the street or something like that for 5 minutes. I like to cook. I have very little social interaction. In fact, almost none. I interact with my, you know, my only one of my children live at home, but I do interact with all three of them every day in one manner or another. They're busy with their own lives too. And I'm a big, I have a big intake of news. I, you know, I've got the news on television all the time. I'm a news junkie. I really, really like it. I'm on to the next thing and the next thing. I'm looking at, you know, what's the next trend, what's coming up. I respond to students' questions, you name it. So it's a busy, busy day, that's for sure. But I also try to tune out everything except for this. I'm still taking in television news at night, but I do try to, you know, wind down, which is not always easy. I'd like to sleep more. I should sleep more. I can't remember the last time I slept in. But yeah, that's pretty much my day.
Those are busy days, but you make time to read. So what are you reading right now?
Yeah, I'm reading The Moment of Lift by Melinda Gates. And it's all about empowering women and changing the world. And so her book is very instructive. What I found interesting is that she felt this incredible responsibility to build financial support as well as resources for women all over the world to be able to start their own businesses, because we know that if women are empowered to make a living, they empower the whole family. And interesting, that was the message I got from my grandmother. My grandmother, who had had 11 children and was a school teacher, insisted that all of her daughters be educated, because she said if they had children, that they would have to be the providers for those children. So I was kind of brought up that way, but there was never any pressure to get married or anything like that. My grandmothers both worked, as a matter of fact, but there was no pressure that you had to have a long-term relationship. Anyway, I found with Melinda Gates' book, it was very interesting, as well as I got to admit, I was looking for nuggets of information as to, you know, we know that their marriage broke up. So money is not the answer to everything, that's for darn sure. But she is a, you know, a deep thinker. She cares about how the world is doing. I think she would be an amazing friend. I would love to meet her. I would like to dog walk with this woman. And the other book that I read is Patchwork Society by Sharon Johnson. As a matter of fact, she spoke to my book club last night. And her book was very interesting because it is about, it's very Canadian, a very Canadian story, and very relevant about growing up in Sault Ste. Marie with a mother who had her challenges also, but overcame absolutely everything. And she had a lot of people in her neighborhood who did good things at residential schools, whether they be medical people and social workers, but with zero money. Those schools, sadly and tragically, were so under-resourced. And this is a story of how it happened. And there were some people that tried to do their best at the time. And I did find it a very interesting. It weaves in her own family story and how she grew up, but it also tells the story of the truth of what happened. And it's a very relevant story for Canadians right now, and for people all over the world, actually.
So, final question for you, Laura. What is your dream for the world?
I hope that people are allowed to express themselves. Of course, I'd love to have a great environment and world peace, and you know, everybody get back to a healthy place. But I also hope that we can look back kindly at some of the mistakes or errors that people have made a long time ago and overcome it, forgive it, move on. None of us are perfect. And I hope that we will all just be nicer and better to one another and have courage. Courage is the reward for doing what you are afraid of. And sometimes people have made mistakes because they're afraid. And, you know, when you're afraid, sometimes you do something and then the courage will follow. So hopefully we will learn from other people's mistakes as well as our own.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that incredible vision for the world. You have been listening to Laura Peck from Transform Leaders. See, I told you she was going to be fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on the Fearless Women podcast, Laura.
Great to talk to you, Janice. Hope one day to dog walk with you.
Hopefully soon. Thanks for listening. We want our community to grow. Tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter at fearlesswomenpodcast.com to get the early scoop. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors, BDC, Lockheed Martin, and Export Development Canada. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating. I'm Janice McDonald. Stay fearless. Thank you to Export Development Canada, the international risk experts, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. Supporting Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage, EDC takes your worries away and helps you grow your business with confidence. When your business has no borders, neither does your potential. Find out more at edc.ca/women in trade. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.